cause I'm a smooth legislator.
Our only guest that has theme music here on The Morning Ride is State Representative and Washington State Republican Party Chair Jim Walsh. Jim Walsh joining us here on Talk Radio 570 KVI in The Morning Ride. Hello, Representative and Chairman.
Oh, good morning, Phil. How are you doing?
It's fine.
It's a beautiful Monday, and we got a week full of action ahead of us, I think.
Yeah. I was just kind of reviewing your X account from the weekend, and it sounds like you watched a lot of what was going on with the Los Angeles chaos and the animosity towards ICE essentially enforcing the law. But we'll get to that in a moment.
I tried not to.
Yeah, right? It was difficult to ignore.
Too much.
Yeah,
exactly.
Difficult to ignore.
It's really bad what's happening down there, and it's the rotten fruit from a rotten tree of government down there in California.
Sure,
I'm worried that we've got some of those same rotten branches up here in Washington.
We'll tap into that here after I bring you on to talk about an initiative for the state of Washington. This is all in the beginning stages. Anyone that listens to Talk Radio 570 KVI knows about the power of initiatives in this state, what they're able to accomplish. And the initiative that is what we're going to talk about now is proof of citizenship to vote. And this is going to be a statewide ballot initiative. And what part of the process are we in right now? Trying to get ballot language but title language set up. Is that kind of the stage we're in right now?
Right. It's early in the process, but it's the first of what's likely to be several initiatives that will be out gathering signatures this summer and into the fall. So there'll be others too, but this is kind of the first one out of the gate. It has already been cleared by the Office of the Code Reviser, so the kind of legal language review, and it has a number. They've changed the way they number initiatives, Phil.
You know, I saw one of those things in your post, and it kind of threw me off. Can you explain what this difference is going to be?
Well, the Secretary of State, the State Secretary of State, currently a fellow by the name of Steve Hobbs, and his office has decided that with the number of initiatives that certain players are promoting and filing and getting out there for signatures, those groups tending to be a little more conservative than they used to be. The conservatives have kind of taken over the initiative process, at least lately, and they think it's confusing to use the old simple four-digit numbering system.
And then a dash and then a four-number system, right?
Four numbers. Yeah. So they've made it a little more complicated. Now it's a longer list of numbers. In the case of this one on voter ID, on proving citizenship when you register to vote, the initiative is IL-26-126. IL-26-126.
So I'm going to guess, is this because this would be potentially on the ballot in 26? Is that why 26 is in there, or is it completely unrelated?
No, that's part of it. That's part of their new numbering convention. And, this one will go out for signatures through the summer and fall to the end of the calendar year this year. And then if it qualifies, it'll be on the ballot in November of 2026. So that's right.
Okay.
And it's this one happens to be a little easier to remember because it's 26-126.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it'll stick with people there a little more easily.
Trying to remember my email password or something like that.
Exactly. It's clear that it does one thing. All it does, and remember, in our state, on an initiative, there's a single subject rule. If an initiative tries to do too many different things, the courts will reject it because it violates the single subject rule. Mm-hmm. An initiative has to address only one point in the law or public policy. And this initiative's one point is it requires people to prove citizenship when they register to vote. They have to be a citizen to vote, of course. And currently in our law and our processes in the state, there is no reliable process for showing you're a citizen when you register to vote. So people who are not citizens can register to vote in Washington. We want to try to fix that and make it that you've got to show with a birth certificate or a passport or a real ID, driver's license, or if you're a naturalized
but
citizen.
But I thought that was part of the trick is that driver's license, one could obtain a driver's license without proving citizenship, and that the state has the motor voter law, and once you're in the driver's license category, then you could end up with voter registration.
Exactly. Right. This is to try – one of the effects of this one-point fix in the law is it will reform the motor voter processes, which currently do not effectively require any proof of citizenship. So it'll help reform motor voter, make it more reliable, put some due diligence checks on there, make sure that we're not registering people who aren't citizens to vote in the state. And right now, the state doesn't do a very good job of that. And when we ask the Secretary of State in Olympia, or we ask the Department of Licensing for the motor voter, or we ask any of the government agencies, are you doing any background? Are you doing anything to guarantee people are citizens when they register to vote? They all point at each other. So this initiative clears all that up.
Everyone kind of passes the buck, so to speak.
Correct.
Does
Correct.
Any of this address, or would this be the trick of the single subject rule? I thought I'd heard some discussion that this potentially could address voting in person versus voting by mail. Is that going to be omitted from this?
Yeah, it doesn't. This initiative doesn't address that. There's been a lot of misreporting in the media. The Seattle Times has been especially bad about it. This only focuses on proof of citizenship. Now, we can talk about getting back to voting in person. We can talk about same day vote tabulation and same day election results, but those are outside the scope of this initiative. Sure. This initiative just does one thing. And part of the confusion, I think, that the Times and others have misreported is we are working in cooperation with similar but not identical projects going on right now in Oregon and in California. Mm. And some of those reform efforts are broader, and they're trying to do more. But our initiative just does one thing, and that's require proof of citizenship when you register to vote.
All right. Any other upcoming landmarks for mileposts that you're aware of for what else will happen with the continuation of this initiative effort?
Oh, well, we got the number. That's a big step in the process. Right now, we're getting ready. We're preparing the petitions, the paper. Remember, mm-hmm. for initiatives in Washington, you can't do it online.
Right.
It has to be paper and
printed
ink,
and yeah.
signatures printed out. So there are a few projects going on where different grassroots organizations are doing online petitions, and that's fine, but those are not initiatives. When you're backing an initiative, supporting an initiative, signing to support it and get it qualified, the signatures have to be paper and ink. They have to be old school. So we're getting those petitions ready now. There is a period of time after an initiative gets its vetting and gets its number assigned and gets through all those processes where organizations can pipe in about the title. And remember, the organizations that draft initiatives and file them, and I filed this one, we don't write the titles of initiatives. The state attorney general's office writes the title. And then after the state attorney general's office writes the title to an initiative, there's a short period of time where organizations can chime in and can complain about the title if they don't like it.
Potentially challenge it, right?
Correct. And we are in that period right now. So we can't put the petitions out quite yet. There's about a week or 2 weeks time here, but we will get those petitions circulated as soon as we can after that challenge period on the details of the initiative. After it finishes, we'll get the petitions right out.
That's when I say the lawyer's got a lawyer.
Exactly. Everybody's got to be able to push their agenda. That's right.
Exactly. All right.
We're used to dealing with that.
Yes, exactly. It's the way of politics in the 21st century. Lawyer's going to lawyer. Talking to State Republican Party chair. He's a state representative from Grays Harbor County, Jim Walsh. And over the weekend, a lot of the political news focus was on Los Angeles with the anti-ICE riots. We'll call them the Rice Riots, rioting ICE, against ICE anyway. You were watching what was going on over the weekend. What were some of your thoughts based on what you saw and what happened?
Well, it is just a bad situation. It is analogous to some bad policy and bad practices we have up here in Washington. We have a governor here, like the governor in California, who's trying to sort of cozy up to the radical left and a lot of Antifa anarchist. Just kind of
certainly doesn't want to push back against them, does he? Does he?
No, not at all. They want to sort of they try to have it both ways, where they sort of suck up to those groups, but then will say, "Oh, I'm surprised and outraged that they're burning vehicles and breaking windows." Well, you know, come on, guys, you cozy up.
Can
to
I just say, you reap what you sow, Gavin Newsom.
Exactly. So we've got Newsom's the governor down there, and in some ways like this, he's similar to our Ferguson, the governor up here. And then the mayor of L.A. is an incompetent, kind of analogous to our weak mayor in Seattle up here. So the situations are similar. The federal law enforcement agency, ICE, you mentioned it, but they're under the Department of Homeland Security. They have decided to start implementing real enforcement of immigration law. And they started down there in the Los Angeles area. And these riots are in response to that, to the law enforcement agencies properly, lawfully enforcing the law. So it's a kind of anarchistic Antifa type vibe, yeah. And they're breaking windows and they're beating up cops and they're trying to anyway. Yeah.
And you saw they were throwing cars. Lime scooters off of freeway overpasses, amongst other things.
And that's the silliest thing. It's such a waste of taxpayer money. These free Lime scooters, the electric scooters that all the climate crisis people want to have in cities.
Use this. Don't take the bus. Take the Lime scooter or whatever.
Exactly. It's a mess down there. Now, the local hook here, Phil, is that our governor, Mr. Ferguson, signed on to this public statement over the weekend that a bunch of left-wing governors around the country did. And what it says is it criticizes the federal government and President Trump for activating the National Guard, which the president did in a lawful way down in California because of these riots and the violence going on. It criticizes him for that. And it basically blames him and blames the National Guard and blames the federal agencies, ICE and Homeland Security, for the violence down there. And that, Phil, is just bizarro world.
Yeah, I've got an audio clip of Governor Gavin Newsom last night in a one-on-one with an LA TV news station. I'm going to play around 8:35 this morning that I think people are going to want to hear. And I just want people to see if they can just follow along with Gavin Newsom's logic about what he was saying about Trump and the National Guard and the chaos, the vandalism, the violence that's been happening on the LA streets. So it all ties together. Thank you very much for all your time and telling us about the initiative on proof of citizenship to vote in the state of Washington, Representative Walsh.
Good to talk to you, Phil. Have a great week, everybody.
You too. You too.